This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
Children across Australia are getting ready to start their educational careers at preschools. For some, it's the very first time they're going to be out of the full-time care of a parent. And for others, it might just be an ongoing part of their childcare situation. But it's such an exciting time, and many parents are going to be frantically searching for the best lunchbox and worrying about how stable their toilet training has been. But what is it that the early learning educators are most keen for your child to be able to do? What are the skills that are going to make the biggest difference to your child's experience of starting kindergarten?
Be open to allowing your little person to develop those self-help skills with your support, that you can step back and not have to do everything for them. Educators and teachers are all about children developing independence and resilience and capacity to do it themselves. And you can, as a parent, as a carer, can be the first step in that process.
My friend Michelle Loft works in early learning, helping children with special needs integrate into kindergarten and early schooling. And as such, she's got an inside knowledge of the skills that children need to make that learning journey as easy as possible. After all, if you're trying to get a handle on finger painting, you don't need to be stressing about how you're going to open your lunchbox at lunchtime, because there's so many things that families can do to get their little people ready and raring to go for kindergarten. Michelle, as an early learning educator, can you let us know what it's like to start the year with a brand new bunch of bright-eyed new babies?
It's really an exciting time because there is so much anticipation from the children and the families, and it really throws you back into why you're actually there. These are little people who have so much to learn, and families who often are having their first experience of early childhood education. And it's an exciting time, but it's also a reminder about how much work you have to do across the year. They arrive with great excitement and great anticipation, and often not a very high skill set. So the work begins on day one.
It's so interesting, and we could argue for hours about it, but a lot of people have said in the past, oh, you know, kindergarten, it's just a bit of finger painting. It's not that important, but in actual fact, it is so important.
It is absolutely vital that children have a preschool experience of being in a group, of being separated from parents, of being able to engage in play-based learning, where so many of the survival skills for school, for a later educational experience that's really positive, are formulated. Kinder is not a privilege, and it's not a luxury. It's an absolute necessity.
So what are some of the things that you're laying the foundations for in a child's education?
I think there are two that I would focus on. The first one is their capacity to self-help. So let's think about, how can a child manage themselves away from the supervision, care and support of a parent or a caregiver? What can they do for themselves, and how can they learn to manage all their daily, you know, issues around toileting and communicating and eating and self-modulating, all sorts of stuff? And the other one is, how can they socialise in such a way that they can develop connections and relationships with their educators and their peers?
And that's so important. That's the basis for the rest of your life, really, isn't it?
Oh, I know from my own experience as a parent, my number one desire for my children entering kindergarten was for them to find a friend. And I was so focused on that, that I didn't realize all the other stuff was going to support that. I just thought, oh, how do they make friends? I want them to make friends. I made friends. That modeled friend behavior. The other parents and I would chat. The kids would chat. The teachers socially engineered little groups to do activities, and friendships emerged. That whole finding a friend thing is kind of more important than bringing home a painting, I reckon.
there is so much that goes on behind the scenes. And as an early childhood educator, Michelle, you've got some really good tips for parents to focus on. So if your littlie is starting come January, February, we've got some really amazing ideas to help you prepare your child. So it's not a big struggle. It's just a little jump into kindergarten.
Yeah, it's an experience that the families can share together. So the first thing is getting to kindergarten. That can be a real challenge. If there are younger siblings that have sleep routines and are new to the family, if there are older siblings that need to get to school, if there are parents that need to get to jobs, all of those things compound and contribute to the morning routine. So just getting out the door and arriving on time for kinder can be really challenging. Most centres and kindergartens will have a specific program in place for the day, and they will have a time that they would like all the children to be in and settled by for that program to start. Now, the first stages might just be open play-based learning, and it might be a soft start where there's a 15 or a 30-minute window of opportunity for the kids to arrive, but there's usually a time when they need to be there by. So it's important to have a routine that supports you and the child being able to get to kinder on time. And that's all about prepping for later when the school bell rings and you've got to be at school by a certain time. It can be hard, and I know how hard it is from experience, but setting up a kinder day routine around having the backpack ready to go at the door, about having a special kinder day breakfast, around saying goodbye to the toys and the animals before you leave the house, that all those things can be part of that plan. And if actually separating from a carer or a parent is a really difficult thing, educators are experts at helping parents develop an exit plan so that they can have a stress-free and a positive drop-off experience, and the parents can exit without having to worry too much about the children.
Yeah, because you don't want to get there frazzled.
No. And, you know, there are often tears. Someone put butter and Vegemite on the toast that morning instead of just Vegemite. That can trigger a whole meltdown. There are so many things that can derail the getting to kinder in a good headspace. Whether it's a walk, a bike ride, or a car drive to kinder, that can impact. But, yeah, just being mindful about, I think, the day begins when you're actually getting ready to leave to go to kinder. It's not about what happens when you drop them at the door, because if you arrive stressed and upset, it's going to impact the rest of the morning. Some kindergartens have a different approach around drop-off. Some kindergartens welcome parents to come in and sit with the children and just be part of the entry process. I know COVID's had a huge impact on that, and now there are all sorts of rules about staggered entries and drop-offs at gates and parents not being allowed into the buildings. I don't know where that's going to go in the next 6 to 12 months, but it's about maintaining an awareness and just trying to, best you can, manage your own child's arrival at the kinder.
Because COVID has changed a lot of things.
Oh, enormously so. Absolutely. During COVID, we've seen a lot of the things we took for granted about kinder have to be set aside, so parent helpers weren't able to come in. And having parents come in and help settle the child in the setting at a table and doing a little activity before exiting out, that couldn't happen. So a lot more resilience amongst the little children who are being dropped off at the gate and handed over into the care of their educators with a soft goodbye at the door. It's been quite a challenge.
Would you do a practice run of walking to kinder or riding your bike to kinder or even driving to kinder just to get used to that over the summer holidays?
I have seen that work really well. Sometimes parents will actually put together a little getting ready to go to kinder program in the couple of weeks before actual enrolment day or arriving for first day. And if it's in your local community and you can make it part of your daily walks and bike rides, that's fantastic. If it needs to be a drive-by, that's okay. You can stop out the front and say, you know, 10 more sleeps and we'll be going in, 5 more sleeps and we'll be going in. And it helps build that anticipation in a positive and exciting way, like we have around birthdays and Christmas, I suppose.
Is it such an exciting time for a little child? It's very good. Now, lots of people like to boast that their children can write the alphabet or they can read before they hit kindergarten, but there are some words that children really need to know, and it shouldn't be too hard.
We really need children to be able to recognise their name written in upper and lowercase letters. Now, they shouldn't have to worry about writing them on their first week at kinder. That's bonus points if they can actually write their names. Don't worry about that. Just be able to recognise them. Because family names and first names, it's really important, especially if they're enrolled in a kinder where there are 4 Thomases and 3 Sarahs. They have to be able to know which one they are. And being able to recognise a name is really important around self-help and accessing things like lockers, hooks, bags, clothing, lunchboxes, water bottles. They have to be able to see and recognise their property, and part of that is recognising their own name.
I still remember starting kindergarten and I had a red watering can above my name on the hook.
Oh, little pictures. Often they'll use little pictures to help, little visual icons. That's always a reinforcement of it. But being able to read their own name. And it's tricky too when there are similar names. I had a 4-year-old kinder group one year with an Ayla, an Isla, and an Elsa. And kindergarten often puts things in alphabetical order. And you had 3 girls' names, very similar, all next to each other. It took a little while for them to figure out which one was theirs.
One of the other really important skills that if you are going to go into this kinder prep is the picking things up and holding a paintbrush, holding a pen. And as my auntie, who is a great old primary school teacher, said, that pegging pegs on a line.
Yeah, it's fine motor skill strength. So it's about building up ligaments in the fingers to be able to grip things. And being able to hold a pen or a pencil in the correct grip may emerge over that kinder year. But if you can develop that capacity before they get to kinder, it will stand them in terrific stead for being able to manage texters and crayons and pencils and a whole range of writing tools and drawing tools. Paintbrushes are another story. The grip is different. And what tends to happen with painting is the children will dunk the paintbrush in the paint pot and then flip it out, and half the paint on the brush will land on the page and the rest of it will land on the floor in front of them and down the front of the smock. And then they'll step in it and then they'll walk it around the room, and it's a joy to see them painting, but it's hard work. So it's PVA glue and paint on a brush. It's not difficult to teach a child how to wipe the extra bits off before they move it away. It takes some practice and it takes some concentration and some reminding. But, yeah, learning how to wipe off the drips is a really good skill to have.
And my auntie would have you sitting with an old ice cream container and pegs and pegging them all around the outside.
Yeah, and the other thing is put up some string between 2 chairs, some little pieces of material and some pegs. Get them to hang out the bits of material attached to the pegs, with the pegs to the line, and then take them down and extend the play with a bucket of water and some soap and turn it into a washing activity. And then they can hang them up wet, and then we can see what happens when the wind and the sun come along and it dries, and we can repeat the process.
Would you include scissors in the activities as well?
Yes, scissors become really important in the latter part of a kinder year and going into primary school. They're definitely a school readiness skill to be able to cut with scissors. There are all sorts of little springs-loaded, little sort of early childhood scissors available. But again, it's that fine motor skill of open, close, squeeze, and being able to cut with your thumb on the top and your fingers on the bottom and moving away from you rather than cutting in front of you or towards you. It also becomes important knowing how to carry the scissors, knowing how to hold them by the closed blades together rather than walking around with them open and, you know, presenting an obvious safety threat.
So many dangers I didn't think about being a kindergarten teacher.
Well, I mean, they're all safety scissors these days. And if you've really got a really young child, you can start with the plastic version. You don't even have to have the metal version. But, you know, they're small people, and I've seen scissors held in a hand while someone burst into a rendition of a Frozen song, and the scissors went off to the right just missing the earlobe of another child sitting next to them. So, yeah, learning to be mindful about how we work with different tools is important.
And clothes, being able to...
Lost property.
Well, you do get used to that and the whole labelling side of things.
Yeah.
But this was something that my child was not very good at, is what you dressed him in the morning, he would stay in all day in spite of it turning from minus 12 to 40 plus degrees. He wouldn't budge on the jumper.
Understanding appropriate choices for the season or the weather is a big challenge. But I think it's about giving them permission, letting them know that it is okay to take a layer off, or if they are cold, it's okay to put another layer on. I don't think there are too many children that can read their body temperatures independently at the age of four, but it's definitely something that they can learn about how they're feeling. So there, in terms of that whole concept about being able to read their body and to be able to self-modulate a little bit. If your body is feeling hot, how can you cool down? If your body is feeling cold, how can you warm up? And children can develop a whole toolkit of ways to respond to how they're feeling and how to change the way they're feeling. But it's also about giving them permission. If you've dressed them for kinder and said, right, these are your clothes for today, this is what you're wearing to kinder, then it's a closed conversation. If you say to them, this is what you're wearing today for kinder, that's terrific. Now, if you get hot, you can take this off. Or if you're cold, there's your jacket, you can put that on. And help them to develop an understanding about how clothing can change depending on what the weather is doing.
Hair is another issue. You don't have to be a girl to have long hair these days, but sometimes more appropriate to not be waving around loose.
I would really encourage any child with long hair to wear it tied up when they go into a kindergarten setting. It's a real hazard in the playground. I've seen hair get caught on jags of play equipment, and that's unpleasant when someone's jumping and their hair is staying in that wood at the top of the climbing frame. I've seen hair in painting when they are very excited about their end result and there's a little happy dance and the hair swishes across the page. Not only does the hair become painted, but the painting's now got lines that were not intended, and that has resulted in tears. At the lunch table, the hair can get caught up in the food and they'll end up eating half of their hair as well as their lunch. So it's pretty much everywhere in the early learning environments that we would really encourage hair not to be out and free. Learning how to have their hair tied back in practical ways as being part of how we go to kinder, highly recommended.
One of the things that I did stress about, and I know a lot of parents do, is they really want to have that toilet training ticked off before three-year-old kinder starts. What are the expectations from kindergartens?
Ideally, you would like a child to be able to self-manage in the toilet. That includes knowing how to get to the toilet before they absolutely bust, knowing how to wipe themselves clean, how to flush the toilet, how important that is, and then how to wash their hands when they're finished. But educators are there to support families. If there is additional support needed on the issue, it just needs to be a conversation had with the educators at around enrollment time. An important part of that is giving the child permission to tell an adult, I've had an accident, I need some help to sort out. If a child can actually manage to change themselves, and you'd be pretty impressed, I reckon, with 3- and 4-year-olds who can fully undress themselves and fully dress themselves again. They can go to their backpacks, they can get their change of clothes, they can take it into the bathroom and sort themselves out independently with just a watchful eye from an educator without too much active involvement. It's fantastic, but they just need the encouragement to know that the teachers and the educators are there to help them if that does happen. But yeah, if it doesn't come together before that first day of kinder, don't stress, just make sure you've got a conversation about it happening with the educators.
And it's amazing how the children really do step up once they're at kinder, because they're big kids now and it's really important.
That becomes a huge part of a motivation for small children is my friends are managing it. I want to be just like my friends. It's that whole introduction of the peer thing, I suppose. They can often step up, but also be mindful that it might be putting a little bit of pressure on them if they're not quite ready as well. Mm. So that whole, you're a big kid now, you're going to kinder, that can be exciting. It can also be a little bit intimidating. So you just have to be mindful around that, especially on issues like toileting.
And, of course, hand washing has become a thing now. All all children should be used to that by now.
You would think so, wouldn't you, after what we've all been through these last 2 years. The tricky thing can be hand washing in a group toilet setting. So most kindergartens have shared facilities. They don't have private cubicles and private little taps. It'll be three or four stalls in a room with a trough tap with maybe four different faucets on it. And that's where it gets interesting, because it looks a whole lot more like a water play centre than it does somewhere where you would wash your hands in the way that you've been taught. So there are always conversations to be had and learning to be had around turning taps on, turning taps off, taking an appropriate amount of soap, not turning it into a bubble-making festival, not running into the bathroom because there may be water on the floor, it might be a bit slippery, not splashing your friends. There's lots of knots. Don't turn the tap on full and have it splash up in your face, no matter how hilarious that might be on a hot day. I think a lot of centres call it bathroom manners. So it's about learning what bathroom manners are in a group setting at kinder.
Most children, when they head off to kinder, will need to take a little backpack and need to take a little packed lunch as well. So what are your recommendations there?
Whatever you give your child to take to kinder, either as a backpack and or as a lunchbox, please get them to practice being able to open and close those options themselves independently. So if you can imagine, first week at kinder for the year, 20 children sitting at tables or on a picnic blanket to have their lunchbox lunches, and 50% of those kids can't open their lunchboxes by themselves, have never eaten out of a lunchbox before, may have actually eaten everything at morning tea and have nothing left for lunch, may not have any experience of opening small packets or screw-topped lids off containers. It's a really good idea. In fact, I would really encourage people, if your child can't access and manage the lunchbox independently, it's the wrong lunchbox. Find a bag or find something that's easier for them to manage themselves. Educators will, of course, support and help, but it's a much easier experience and it's definitely self-help skill building if your child can handle it themselves. And when it comes to packing the backpack at the end of the day, you really want your child to be able to fit their belongings in. So don't overfill the bags. If you've got a lot of stuff that you just can't not include, you need an appropriate sized backpack. You want the children to be able to learn how to manage their zips and get things in and close things off and do all of that sort of stuff themselves. It's all the self-help skills that they need for when they get to school and they have to start, you know, managing their backpacks at the end of the day too. So we start that really early in kinder.
And that's easily something that you could have a really good practice of during January.
Yeah, absolutely. Every time you go to the park, get them to pack their own backpack to take to the park and have them unpack it when they get back home again.
Now, you said that the one thing that you wanted your children to achieve was friends in kindergarten. And a big part of that is like learning how to negotiate with other people.
Yeah, it's really tricky. And I know that opportunities for socialisation have been impacted by COVID. And this is a huge concern for early childhood educators moving forward. And they will be focusing very heavily on this across the board, I would think, around helping children find connections and find ways to connect with other children. Now, there's some things that parents can do before you get there, and that is to have conversations either using stories or little videos. Bluey does this really well around what is a friend, and find out how friends make you feel and what you can do with a friend, and talk about having many friends, not necessarily needing a best friend. And the way that we share our friends at kinder is very broad reaching. Talk also about what the opposite of a friend is. If someone's not making you feel good, it's probably because they're not being a good friend. Educators socially engineer groups, so they'll often find children with common interests and find ways to get them to hang out together and make connections. But one of the things children need to be able to do as well is to be able to read faces. So they need to know what a face that is sad and happy and angry and frustrated and scared and frightened and surprised looks like. So that's a huge part of their emotional intelligence building and finding ways to understand their own feelings and recognize those in others is a really valuable way to help prepare them to make that entry into kinder world.
And other things like taking turns is pretty hard, especially if you've got an only child.
Yeah, taking turns, learning to share, learning whose property it is, the fact that it's not yours just because you were using it. Learning how to share the common or the community resources at kindergarten can be really challenging for children. They don't understand that if they're playing with something and they get distracted and wander off, that someone else is going to come in and take over the play, and it may not be there for them when they return. That can take some negotiating. That can be really difficult. So playing games with children, finding examples where turn-taking is happening. And the other thing I'd say is they don't always have to be first and they don't always have to win. Finding ways to participate in things without an outcome that is you're the champion, you know, you're the best is really valuable too.
Another skill, this is one sitting on the floor.
How many families actually sit on the floor to do activities with their children? Most of the time I reckon you're on the sofa or you're on a bed or you're sitting at a table. You might be on a picnic blanket or a beach blanket if you're on an outing, but sitting on the floor is a hugely important part of being in a group setting at a kindergarten. A lot of the focus has moved away from big mat times. Early childhood educators will bring the children all together on the mat for some things, but they'll often do smaller groups on the mat with them as well. But being able to sit down, legs crossed, focused on what is going on with the teacher in front of you for up to 10 to 15 minutes is a skill that children need to acquire. Now, that can be really hard if the child doesn't like storybooks being read to them, because they're going to get a lot of storybooks read to them at kinder by all sorts of people, and some of them might be relief teachers that pop in when regular teachers aren't available, so they won't even know them. Some of them will be helpers. Some of them might be student teachers who are doing placements. There'll be lots of different people coming through the space wanting to read stories to them. Children might be asked to sit down. They'll be asked to focus. In an environment like a kinder, there's so many visual distractions. Being able to do that can be really hard for them. They'll get fidgety. They'll get distracted. There'll be other children who aren't enjoying it and they'll want to distract them. So find a way to bring your child down onto the mat with you and see if you can extend their capacity to sit with their legs crossed. Don't do it in silence. Do it with an activity, but try and build up their sitting time with their legs crossed so that they're going to be more comfortable and able to do it without getting the wriggles and the distractions. There's so much to derail them in sitting on the floor at kinder. There'll be, you know, people poking and the hairstyles of the other children and tickling fingers and children who would rather do tumbles than sit on the floor and around them. But if you can develop their capacity for it and help them find a comfortable way to sit with their legs crossed, it would really help.
And you could practice being a kinder teacher and read a book to them sitting on the floor.
Yeah, or a big cousin or a big sibling could practice being the kinder teacher.
Yeah. And things like starting a puzzle or a little game and carrying it all the way through to the end?
Yeah, start a puzzle, finish a puzzle is a common rhyme that you'll hear. So learning how to see a activity through to its completion, or at least through to the point where you're finished with it, and then pack it away and resolve it so you don't leave it lying around for later. Puzzles are often only, in the early days of kinder, very, very small number of pieces. Often it's shape puzzles so that the children have clues about how they go together. But puzzles are a really important tool for developing spatial skills and awareness and matching and finding patterns and connections visually. The children will often want to help each other do the puzzle. So being comfortable with someone coming into your space and working with you on finishing the puzzle rather than doing it all by myself, that can be a challenge for children. But yeah, first we have to finish the puzzle and then we can move on to something else will be a motto that you'll hear spoken fairly frequently as well.
There's so much to learn. And
and it doesn't all have to happen in week one, day one, but these are the sort of things that will be going on that you may not get to hear about in that brief 2-minute conversation you'll have with your teachers at pick up and drop off.
And you can just see how knowing all these little bits and pieces will really set your child up to having a more relaxing time at kindergarten, I think.
Yeah. Children really enjoy being able to do it for themselves. They really like being independent. They really enjoy helping each other So if you've got a child who has mastered the art of opening their lunchbox, they might be able to show another child who has the same lunchbox, who doesn't quite have that confidence how to do it. And that builds self-esteem and self-confidence as well.
There's a lot for us to do over the summer holidays and get organised for kinder. I didn't realise quite how much, but it's all part of that amazing journey into future learning.
It is. And they're all little tiny activities and steps. No one needs to worry about putting together a program or a formal, you know, activity roster. They're things you can just build into your daily routine with the children, but really be open to allowing your little person to develop those self-help skills with your support, that you can step back and not have to do everything for them. Educators and teachers are all about children developing independence and resilience and capacity to do it themselves. And you can, as a parent, as a carer, can be the first step in that process.
That was Michelle Loft with what I hope is a useful list of ideas and activities that you might like to have a go at as you get your little ones ready to start kindergarten or childcare for this year. You're listening to Baby Talk, and we are a weekly podcast. If you're just starting on this journey of being a parent, you can find podcasts about everything from pregnancy and conception to life with a preschooler. And last week, we heard how one mum invented a device to help women experiencing pain during breastfeeding.
We should just really focus on giving mums the best success and the best experience. And I suppose that's my North Star with Lactimo, is trying to achieve that, and certainly not shaming in any way or judging in any way as to what people are or aren't doing. It's their business.
You can find that Baby Talk podcast on the ABC Listen app and most of the other places you'll find podcasts. I'm Penny Johnston, and I will see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.